When I think of situations that Andrew and Janet are going through, or I think of John and Lena, you think of the unrest in the world, there's always anxiety. Things that we worry about, that is on our hearts and our minds. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. How do we find that rest or that peace that only God can give as we go through situations like this in our lives? Maybe there's times where you feel like life is just moving along too fast, or you're always in a hurry, or you feel overwhelmed with the demands and the pressures of life. Maybe you feel exhausted and you think that you've lost your sense of excitement for living every day. Or maybe you're discouraged and bombarded with fear or worry. Maybe you feel that you're carrying a heavy load, and it's like you just can't move on anymore. But God, He invites us to experience peace among this mess and chaos in our world. He offers us rest when we're burdened and tired and exhausted. And even though stress is a part of life, the question is not why do we experience stress? The question is, what do we do when it happens in our lives? And when you think about it, the world that we live in is a stressful place. Stress happens when there's tensions, pressures and threats and demands. And you feel that you're unable to cope with them. And the tensions and the pressures and the demands that come are, they may come from the surroundings from around us or from within you. Things that make you worry. And we know that when we're stressed, we feel anxious. We feel uneasy. We feel tension. We're fearful. Maybe it's situations that you need to go and you need to make something right with someone else, and you're not sure how you're going to go about it. Or maybe an event that is coming up. We also know that stress causes damage and dysfunctions to our body, to our minds. And if our stress button, if that's what you want to call it, is pressed frequently, our body is on a continuous alert. And when our body doesn't have a chance to rest or recover, we can suffer anxiety, depression, and even health problems. But studies show that constant triggering of that stress button, if that's what you want to say, can cause the following symptoms. The first symptom is physical signs, things that you can see. Or maybe that you're going through. We think of sleep disturbances. Increased heart rate. Restlessness. Muscle tensions. Maybe dizziness or high blood pressures. We also see that it can interfere with our thought process. How there's confusion. Negative attitudes or thoughts. Constant worry, things that race through our minds, difficulty concentrating or forgetting things, the sense that life or the situations that we go through are overwhelming. We also see emotional signs of frustration, feeling maybe overworked or overwhelmed by the situations that you're in. A lack of interest. And then last, we have a behavior. Meaning a sense of loneliness or poor work relations. Failing to set aside times for relaxation. And we need to learn how to experience rest. And if all we needed was physical rest, it would be fairly simple. It would be just to take a nap. And if we only needed emotional rest, you can always take a vacation. But our ultimate rest, our ultimate need, is spiritual rest. Where can we find this spiritual rest? How can we obtain relief regarding the deepest issues of life? At the deepest level of our hearts. When our soul finds rest, our whole life finds rest as well. This morning I'm going to focus on Matthew chapter 11, three verses, 28 to 30. Very familiar verses. And Jesus, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." And he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May God bless the reading of his word. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, it's a passage that contains three invitations from Jesus that lead to spiritual rest. And they indicate both the sovereignty of the Father and the responsibility of us as people. We will experience rest for our soul as we respond to Jesus' invitations. My first point is that we come to Christ. He says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus, he makes a plea to those who are burdened by the law. To those who are in their own strength, they're trying to please God. And he makes a plea to those who have been weighed down by the law and customs of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who've been told that if they're not perfect or if they live to the standards that are set, they're going to suffer. If you turn to Matthew 23, verses 1 to 5, especially verse 4, it says, "And spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And therefore, whosoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievances to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They may abroad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders of their garments." We see that Christ, he's speaking to us today. We who say we understand God's grace and yet often wonder if he loves us. Or those of us who constantly feel as if they're no good. Or we who fall so short each day, we ask God, "How can you possibly love us?" But God says, or Jesus says, "Come unto me." Jesus, he invites them to come to him to experience rest that comes from him only. And he calls people who are weary, those that are carrying heavy burdens. Are you tired and exhausted? Do you feel that you're carrying a heavy load and you feel that you can't take it anymore? Jesus says, "Come unto me." It means that we need to yield to Him. To turn from ourselves away and to God. We need to realize that in this world, there's nothing that this world can give us. No spiritual rest. No genuine peace. No joy. No real satisfaction in life. Jesus says in John 6, verse 35, He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And he continues on and he says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood crying out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In John 14, 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You can gain a life of rest when you give God the rest of your life. More often, the search to satisfy our needs on our own usually leads us to empty roads. The weariness that Jesus is talking about is a tiresome searching of the soul and then coming up empty. But he promises the gift of rest to those that come to him. The sense of relief from burdens is real for all of those that come to Jesus Christ. Are you looking for rest? Is there a place deep down in your soul that is searching for rest? Do you long to have that peace with God, even when you've fallen short? Jesus says, come unto me. Perhaps you're in that place right now in your life, where you're tired, where you're exhausted, maybe where you're burdened down. Jesus says, come. You will experience rest for your soul as you respond to that invitation. My second point is walking with Christ. He says, take my yoke upon you. Find rest for your souls. Yoke is a type of harness that connects a pair of oxen. It is used as a metaphor to refer to submission to a teacher. In the New Testament times, the phrase to take the yoke of was used by the rabbi to refer to becoming a submitted student of a teacher. And the word yoke has two main symbolic ideas. First of all, it's like a man-made yoke. It's a yoke of rules and religion. If you turn to Acts chapter 15, verses 7 to 11, it spells out the yoke of following rules and the religious system to be accepted by God. Acts 15, 7 to 11. It says that when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved as they. This is a way that you could say many people are familiar with the idea of relating to God. Through rules and religion. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and so not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." This is not my yoke that Jesus is speaking of. He is speaking of the God-given yoke, the yoke of a relationship. Jesus says that his yoke is easy. It is well fitted. It meets the needs. Rules and religion don't fit the need for a personal relationship, my friends. His yoke is easy compared to the man-made religious yokes. His burden is light compared to the burden of human effort. And Jesus, he commands us that we take up his yoke to find that rest. There is no rest in rules and religion, but only in a personal relationship with God based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if you think of a yoke, it pictures three things. First of all, there has to be a connection. And he says, "Be with me." Yokes are made for two, not one. And we were not meant to go through life living apart from God. His yoke fits well and is lighter than the one that we've been pulling by ourselves. That's why he says, connect to him. The second thing it pictures is the direction. He says, "Follow me." The idea of a yoke pictures the forward motion of two connected together. You cannot be yoked to Jesus and go your own way anymore. We follow him in his direction for our lives. That's why he says to follow him. And the third thing that it pictures is cooperation. To be yoked together means that we cooperate with his work. We're joined to his work, and our lives can make an eternal impact. The yoke is a place of labor. And here Jesus, he's inviting us. He's inviting us to walk with him and to work for him. When we take the yoke of Christ, we learn that what we do for him totally outshines anything else that you or I can do. And when you and I are working for Christ, my friends, we have peace that our Master is looking out for us. And you and I are going to worry much less in our life. If you think of the many things that you may be able to do on your own or please people, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be burdened. Because Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing." Are you discouraged? Are you bombarded by a sense of worry or fear? Or feel like you're carrying a load that you can't take anymore? Jesus Christ invites us to take his yoke, to trust in his ways instead of our ways. You and I need to know and to believe that God knows better. The third point is that we learn from Christ. He says, "Learn of me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's his third invitation, that we learn from him. Are you and I open to learn? When we come to him and take up his yoke, the process of learning begins. The yoke is a place of learning. We're invited to learn of him. And the problem that many of us face today is that we know so little about our great God. His desire is that we would come to the full knowledge of him. We can only learn when you and I are abiding in him. That is one of the important elements of the yoke. It keeps us bound together with him in a place of closeness where both you and I can be taught. How can you learn anything if you're not around your teacher? Or if you're not learning from what he has in store for us, his word. Christ desires us to be yoked together with him so that he can teach us. As we're yoked together, we learn from Christ how to be patient in suffering, to walk humbly, to trust, to love, and to rejoice. Because of Jesus, our example, we can learn gentleness. Religious people, they can be bold, they can be cold and harsh, but not Jesus. His gentleness draws us to him with our cares and concerns. Wouldn't it be great to have someone you can pour your deepest thoughts? A gentle person who has that strength to help you? 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares about you. Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example where you and I can learn humility. Religious people can be arrogant and rude. And the very things that turn people off from the church are the very opposite of what Jesus is really like. Hurting, lost, and weary people were drawn to Jesus because he cared for them. He met their needs. Friends, you can gain a life of rest when you give God the rest of your life. One day a man went to see a farmer who was plowing his field with a team of oxen. And the man noticed that one of the animals was seemingly a little bit larger than the other, and he asked him about it. And the response from the farmer was very interesting. He said that the big animal, or the older animal, that was well trained, and the smaller one was the young animal that was new to the yoke. And the man went on to inquire as to why he put them together, and this was the answer that he got. Well, you see, it's like this. The older ox is the best ox that I've ever had. And he knows the way around the field. And the reason I put the younger ox with him is so that the older one, the more knowledgeable ox, can teach him how to plow. If I never put them together, the younger one would never learn. By himself, the younger ox would pull himself to death. But together he learns to cooperate with and rest in the strength of the older ox. Does your life feel like the young ox that's pulling himself to death? Rest comes from responding to Jesus' invitation. Come to me and take my yoke upon me and learn from me. Where are you at in your life? Are you like the young ox, pulling and seemingly not getting anywhere? Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Let us pray. Heavenly Fathers, we come before you. We want to thank you for the encouragement that your word is to us. Father, many times we're overwhelmed. We worry. We feel the stress upon our hearts. And Father, it is good again to know that it is your word that gives us comfort. When we come to you, Lord, you give us the rest that we need. You say that your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Father, we just want to thank you for that. Father, help us to engage and to abide in you at all times. Every situation that we go through in life, Lord, that we would be tied together with a yoke to you. Father, we want to thank you again for you being here in our midst, for teaching us. May you again receive the honor and the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God, he invites us to experience peace among the mess and the chaos in this world. And he offers rest when you and I are burdened and tired and exhausted. The question is not, why do we experience stress? The question is, what do we do when stress happens in our lives? And Jesus has the answer. He says, come unto me. Furthermore, I have nothing else to present to you this morning. I want to thank you for coming, and may you have been encouraged through God's word. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may depart in the peace of God.